I'm going to read Psalm 95 again, because the second half of the psalm, which I didn't think was very appropriate for the start of the sermon, the sermon won't make sense unless I read it. It might not make sense even then. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands form the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For these, there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years I was angry with them and I said, they are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Last week, if you were here, you may remember, hopefully you remember, that Ian was talking about the plan of God and it really being about reconciliation, about God doing everything to bring us back into relationship with him. And he worked that through. And if you, I don't know if you were here, do you remember seeing that picture of the universe and the tiny little speck which was Earth, which seems so insignificant, but is so really significant to God? You know, he made this planet. It's actually in the middle of the universe, and the universe was formed around this tiny little speck of a planet. And on this planet is each one of us. It's kind of like amazing, really. And he talked about this plan of bringing back these little specks who are us into relationship with him. And that's like huge, the big plan, the big universe plan of God to bring us back into relationship with him. And you know, he talked about that's our role, is to proclaim this gospel to people who don't know. Because once upon a time, we were also the people who didn't know about God. So if that's a big kind of universe plan, what's the tiny little speck plan of God? Well, I think that tiny little speck plan of God is us. It's about our life. It's about our walk with God. And it's about our testimony with God. And as we think about that, I mean, you could, if I said to you, think of some scriptures that talk about how significant we are to God, you'd probably come up with different scriptures to myself. But there's Matthew 10:50 says, God knows every hair on, don't know why I'm looking at you, Roy. God knows every hair on our head. And I kind of look at myself because people say, yeah, I haven't got much hair. But if you were going to, God knows every hair on our head. If you would kind of come and up after the service, I don't suggest you could do it if you really were that bored, but if you tried to count the number of hairs on my head, even so, I still think you'd have a bit of difficulty counting the number, but God knows the number. So he knows even those tiny little details about us. And then in Psalm 139, verse 13, it says, surely you knit me together in my mother's womb. You see, even at conception, at that point, when we were even smaller than we are now, God knew us because he made us, he formed us. So he knows all about us because he made us. Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing is hidden from God. So there's nothing that we can do, say, think, that he doesn't know about. Nothing is hidden from him. And it goes on to say that he brings everything to light as well. So he knows even maybe even better than ourselves, he knows us. He knows everything about us. Are you kind of getting the idea that God's really the one in control of our lives? Sometimes we think we are, but God's the one in control. Galatians 2:2 says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." So that's a really hard concept for people to get around, that this God who made the whole universe now lives inside of us. A tiny little speck, a tiny little person, but he lives inside of us. That's amazing, isn't it? So whenever we're thinking we're on our own, we're never on our own. There were so many scriptures, as I said, that I could mention, or you would have different scriptures. But I'll end with one more. I'll go back to Psalm 139, verse 16. "All the days of my life are written in your book, before even one of them came to pass." So way back, even before Jesus, he knew the number of our days. He knows the number of each one of our days. You know, he knows even that detail. So everything is so important to God. So when you're going through troubles, just remember, God knows. He's there. So if the big plan of God is to proclaim salvation and salvation message, what's this kind of smaller plan? Well, I think for each in our lives, there's three steps. We need to hear from God. We know that we're going in the right direction, that we're doing the right things. We need to hear from God. Once we've heard from God, we need to be obedient, but we do have a choice to be disobedient. So it's either obedience or disobedience. And then it's about sharing that plan. It's about the testimonies that we all have, you know, and putting it into action. Because without testimony in our lives, it's kind of sometimes can be a dead word. The word of God is living and active, but sometimes we can we're not really following that through. So let's look at hearing from God. In the two passages, certain people hear from God. In the first passage from Psalms, which is talking about Israel when they were going into the promised land, they heard from God that this was the direction to go, that they needed to go and go to the promised land. In the other passage, in Jeremiah, because of disobedience, the people were taken off into captivity, but they were told to settle down, to build houses, and to become good citizens of the place where they were taken. And they were told they'd be there for 70 years. So some of the people that went into captivity would have died there. Some of the people were not even born, and they would have heard the story and would have believed in God, because God always keeps his promises. So they had the choice there. Sometimes when we hear from God, the obstacles seem too enormous. We can't do that. We might say that about the annex. We can't do that. But if it's really what God wants, it's going to happen if we just trust him and keep faith and do our part. Sometimes you're individually facing something and you think, I don't know, am I hearing from you right? You know, there's different passages in the Bible where a small number of people did an amazing thing. You know, you think of the story of Gideon. He, 300 men, and the whole army, I think it was the army, and I can't remember which army, but they fled. They didn't really have to fight because God was fighting for them. And the same thing happened where in Elisha's time, you can read the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 of Elijah, and the city was besieged, this was by the Assyrian army, and it got so bad that the people wanted to, were prepared to eat each other. And yet God said, by the morning, the Assyrian army won't be there. And because of a bad report, they fled. But you can read that story more thoroughly if you read 2 Kings 6. And you think about battling against the odds. Just in the last century, the Second World War, there was a tiny little island like ours against the might of the German army. But God, people at that time were praying, and actually God rescued people fought, and people gave their lives, but God was there rescuing people. And something like the Six Days War in Israel, the whole Arab nation was against a tiny little land, but God said he will fight for Israel, and he did. And he'll fight for you too, when you're finding things difficult, or when things seem too difficult to overcome, he will fight for you. And then we can obey or disobey. And I guess this is why I wanted to read that other part. Because what happened to the people when they went in spy, the spies went into the promised land, they looked and there was giants, they said. And it was too difficult for them. And they came back and they spread a bad report. And only three people, Caleb, Joshua and Moses, said, no, we still need to go and do it because God will be with us. But in this case, the people had taken their eyes off of who God is. And they'd looked at the circumstances. They'd looked at the obstacles. And the obstacles had become much bigger in their mind. And they weren't ready to go in. And they suffered consequences for that. They never actually, that generation never entered the rest that was available to them. In the other passage, they were actually obedient. They did what the Lord, that they heard God say. They settled down. They built houses. They became good citizens. And some of them got to high position because of it. And because of their obedience, they did go back to the land of Israel. Even if it wasn't the same generation, they did go back. So obedience is important. Often, for us, the battle is won in up here, in the mind. The battle of being able to obey or not to obey, between looking at circumstances or looking to God. And so we need to be people who are trusting God so that we can win the battle, because the battle in the mind is a really difficult one. Sometimes in our lives, even smaller things can be built up into really big things. I may have said to you before, but like it's now, seems, doesn't it, Gillian, it seems like five years ago when we first opened that shop. It seems like it was just yesterday. But at the time, we were having all sorts of problems, and the car broke down before we set up, and I started to get really in my head, in my mind. I thought, we can't do this thing, we can't do this thing. And I started to worry. And then worry got in. I thought, oh, we're going to lose our house. And all sorts of thoughts were just tripping over me. And I got to a point where I was nearly, I had a picture of myself. God gave me a picture of myself. Where I was near, even though I was on dry land, I was almost drowning. And all I could do was call out scriptures like, he'll never give you more than you can bear. And, you know, thankfully, because I was holding on to those scriptures, God pulled me through, and I got to a point where I said, no, we've got to keep going. We've got to move through this time. We've got to keep going. But even that was quite a small thing to some of the things that you might be facing in your life. At that time, for me, it became such a huge thing. It was a battle in my mind that I wasn't winning until I stood on the promises of God. And then I started to win the battle in my mind, and those obstacles were not there anymore. I wasn't worried because I thought, God is in charge of my life. So it will be different things for you. You'll have more serious things to face. But keep in there and be with people that can help you. Of course, at the time, there were false prophets, and we always have to be aware of false prophets. There were people saying, don't go into the land, and there were also people who were saying, before they went into captivity, everything's going to be fine. Well, everything wasn't fine. These stories and stories like this are written in the Bible to help us to understand. You know, at the time, Joshua, later on, when he was going into the Promised Land, was able to say, the battle belongs to the Lord. And he was able to go in with confidence. I'm not saying it was easy for him, but he went in with confidence because he went in with the Lord. God is always faithful to his promises. He will always keep his promises, and he'll always be with us if we're trusting in him. So what about you? Are you trusting God to guide you through the ups and downs of life? We all have them. God can speak to anyone, you know. But do you know who God's prophets are today? Do you know what they are saying about the situation in the country? Do you know, or are you listening? Are you testing what they're saying? Are you relying on the promises of God to help you in times of calm and times of trial? Because it's important that if God is part of our life always, it's not just the good times, it's not just the bad times. We need to listen to him at all times. Do you find that you feel overwhelmed by circumstances in your life? If you do, find, you know, you can talk directly to God, and you can pour out your heart to him. You can find someone that you trust in, and you can talk it through. There'll be many people in this church who will be who do and would continue to do and would be willing to talk to you and to support you. Don't suffer on your own. You don't have to. Do you keep your eyes on Jesus, or do you allow circumstances to start to come in and crush you? Because actually what that means is you're trusting in your own strength, not God. Don't let those really small things that start off as a little seed in your mind grow and grow till they become big, till you're nearly drowning like I was a few years ago. So your testimony, what is your testimony? Have you been through times of testing where you've come out the other side and you could see God's hand in it? That's your testimony. You know, share that. You know, it may seem insignificant to you, but sharing that with each other means that you can build each other up. And sometimes your word, maybe it seems insignificant to you, can be so much, so positive for somebody else. So, you know, don't think that your situation was so small. It was something. If you were walking with God and you came through, then it's important. Have you seen God turn your life around? You know, that's an amazing thing in itself. Go and share it with others. God wants us to share those testimonies. I think people aren't going to be. They're not going to come to church or realise that Jesus is alive by empty words or techniques or things like that. It's often by your friends, your neighbours, and that God is living. He's alive. He's alive in us. He's doing all this work. He can be alive in the people out there who and maybe do not know yet. And there's no better place to finish than with Jesus. He's actually our greatest example. You know, what did he do? He listened to his father. He heard from his father. And he was obedient to come to earth. He was obedient to come to earth and to live on earth as a human being. He was obedient to die on a cross in our place. You know, that's just such an amazing fact. We deserve to die on a cross, and Jesus died for us. He was on his own, but he didn't. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, please, Father, take this cup from me. He knew what he was facing. But he said, not my will, but yours be done. He was totally obedient to his Father. And he had a testimony to share, didn't he? A testimony of victory over sin and death. A testimony of doing the right thing, of following, of taking the lowest place, and so he was exalted to the highest place. And that testimony still is a testimony today that is new for so many people. It may be many years since we came to know the Lord. It might be a few weeks, it might be months. But there's people today, even today, that's new for them. They've never realized and maybe heard the message. It's never really connected with them that it means something for them. But today the message, the testimony of Jesus, is saving lives today. That it be saving lives in Dorley Bank or Telford or Great Britain or Europe or the world. But people are coming alive today because of the testimony of Jesus. And you can be part of that testimony. I can be part of that testimony. It's an amazing fact. And all praise goes to God. Hallelujah.